another episode of Why I Hate This Movie. I'm your host, Derek Rios, and with always my co-host and heterosexual life mate, Danny Newton. How you doing, Danny?
I'm doing fine, Derek. How are you?
I'm fine. Today we're talking about our second Steven Seagal movie
that
we've done. This is called Force of Execution.
Yep.
This came out in 2013?
Yes.
Okay.
It sure did.
This is well after his prime, but right before we got too fat to actually stand and act or walk upstairs. So this is Steven Seagal while he can still, you know, stand and do a couple kicks.
There was still the use of body doubles.
Yeah.
And in almost everything he did.
And he did still half the movie sitting down.
Yes. So. The only martial arts Steven Seagal actually did in this is he would walk into a room and then limp wrist his hands, and then everything would be from his back, and it'd be a body double doing all the actual like martial arts stuff.
Yeah, that's just how threatening he is. He walks at you with a limp wrist, and just beats the shit out of you because you can't do anything. What are you gonna do against that?
It's amazing. It's not like they have guns.
No, they don't. No one actually has guns to use in this movie.
Well, there's so much happening.
I was thoroughly confused the entire movie. I have no idea how they can make this simple fucking plot so complicated and convoluted.
Yes, this was definitely three movies duct taped together. They had nothing to do with each other.
No. And I honestly don't know if Seagal realized that he's supposed to be a criminal kingpin.
No, not at all. There is no way he thought that he was a bad guy in this, because he still acts like he's the good guy, mm-hmm. right? This movie literally goes from him being like a mafia don to special forces again?
I don't know. So at the end of the movie, yeah, he puts on his getup.
Yes.
I guess he just owns this. I think this whole movie is just Steven Seagal at his house.
Dude, the opening of this movie was him just talking nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
Then there is a middle part in this where he's literally just showing, I think that's his personal handgun collection.
Yeah, I think this is his house, his personal handgun collection. He's just showing off his stuff. It's like, yeah, this the 45 right here is pretty. It's a real nice piece right here.
Man. Yeah, this is the smallest 45 you can carry. See,
right here, man, I got 9mm. This is real good.
Yeah. Stuff, they call it the clicky.
Good,
because it clicks.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's just think about it, man.
Yeah.
No, man, it's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah. This is my personal 45 right here.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about, Steve?
And then he puts on the exact same outfit he wore in Sniper Elite.
Yeah, Sniper Special Ops.
Sniper Special Ops.
Yes.
I think he just owned now.
Yeah. Like, he does not. There's at no point in this does he think he's a bad guy.
No.
Right?
Because like, even at the end, he's like, I'm just going to move away. And, you know, I'm not that bad of a guy. I just might have done some bad things.
So, okay. The overall arching plot of this whole thing is he's a bad guy and Vin Rhames is trying to move in on his territory.
Yes.
Right? That's it. That's the entire story.
You would never fucking guess that.
You would never know.
Yeah.
The subplot. Oh, my God. Subplots galore.
It's insane.
There's a subplot that's the longest subplot that's his top henchman, his assassin guy, that he sends off to go kill somebody.
Who I believe is the only actual martial artist in this movie.
Yes.
And that's Bryn Foster.
So that guy goes and kills a guy in prison that I guess is like informing on Mr. Alexander's businesses.
Yeah.
And Vin Rhames eyeballs that guy and is like, nah, it's that other guy. So that's his contact on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So he kills the other guy like he's supposed to.
Yeah.
And gets back out. And he's just like, nah, man, you killed the wrong guy. I can't have my business associates thinking they can, you know, just whatever fucking stupid Steven Seagal shit he says. But he gives that guy to like the Crips.
No. So yeah. All right. They say that they're the Brotherhood or the neighborhood.
Dude, there is so many other gangs.
No,
I don't know who those guys are. Vin Raines' crew is like, yeah, we neighborhood, we 6-0. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
They're Crips. But that's what I thought. The neighborhood is, I guess, just a sect of Crips. I don't know.
But he gives that his chief like assassin dude over to this other gang members that aren't Vin Raines' gang.
Yeah.
And they break his hands with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Right?
Because it says, you know, just don't kill him, man, you know? But you got to pay the consequences.
He's
15 years. He's never missed a mark. And now it's like, I'm sorry, man. We just got to break your hands.
What the fuck? We were tiring you. You were tired.
You were tired. You're not good. Now that they broke your hands, I can't really use you as a hitman anymore.
Even though he still tries to use him as a hitman.
Yeah, he still calls him up. I was like, hey, man, you know.
I've been bringing you out of retirement. Like, motherfucker, I don't have any hands.
Oh, man, I'm going to get my man over there, Machete, and he's going to fix you up. So, but the whole thing where he goes and does his hit is so, like, so stupid.
Yes.
It doesn't make any sense that they would have this whole plot.
Did you notice that the two fucking prison guards were part of his, like, fucking special forces squad at the end of this movie as well?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they reused most of... There were some of the criminals in there they reused, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God, so, dude.
They're already locked in prison. But this guy, who they know is the informant, instead of just having those people in prison...
Kill him. Yeah.
Which... Would they do that all the time? Yeah, that happens all the time in real life. They just kill fucking snitches.
Somebody on the outside is like, hey, man, you want a few $100 dropped into your commissary? Go kill that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, it's not going to change my life sentence anymore.
No.
Sure.
Hey, I get that top ramen this week. Yeah.
So he pretends to be a guard, breaks in, and then, goes in. And then Vin Raines is like, yeah, it's just that guy right there. And so this is the whole thing. This is Vin Raines' whole plan is he wants to set up the hitman. That way he gets rid of the hitman and makes him look bad.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, though.
No.
So Vin Raines comes out of prison.
Yeah, then he's out of prison like 6 months later or some shit.
Yeah. And immediately he's like, yeah, we 6-0. I run these streets. This is neighborhood.
But at first he's working with Alexander,
Steven Seagal. Yeah.
And then he starts undermining him. Yeah. Overturning his businesses.
Yeah.
And
he turns the Mexicans against him.
And turns the Mexican gangs against them.
Yeah.
And then there's also, wasn't there a cowboy group?
That was the Mexicans.
The Mexicans was the cowboys. Okay.
No, it's a lot.
Okay.
It's a lot, dude. So
those are only three gangs, right?
As far as I know, you had the Mexicans that were cowboys but ran a chop shop.
Yeah.
But Vin Raines comes in and takes over the chop shop.
Mm-hmm.
And is like, nah, this is mine now, and you got to pay me 10% of everything that comes through.
Mm-hmm.
And Vin Raines' headquarters is in a strip club.
Yeah.
Which completely blew my mind, too, because Vin Raines has some excellent lines.
Yeah.
this is, oh, my God. The stripper that sat down on his lap is like, didn't I fuck you already? Stop wasting my dick time. Get the fuck out of here. He's in the strip club. But there's so much of this plot as well revolved around abducting the blonde girl that works at the diner.
So yeah, there's a diner that Danny Trejo works at.
Yeah.
Who Danny Trejo, I guess, used to work for Mr. Alexander. He's just kind of a cook now. And
so if you think about it, the diner that the girl and Danny Trejo work at should be paying extortion money to Mr. Alexander for protection.
I guess.
Because he walks in and she's like, yeah, man, this is my house.
Yeah.
This is my place.
That's my girl. Was it actually his daughter? I don't know if it was his daughter or just his girl.
I think that her and Seagal were hearing different things when she said daddy. That's all I'm saying.
This is another case of the mistaken daddy.
This is another mistaken daddy issue. So the gangbangers keep showing up here to try to abduct her.
Well,
man, you come from a strip club full of naked bitches. Why do you want to abduct this 40-year-old woman for?
It's about the thrill of the chase, Danny. Okay. Yeah, none of the plot makes sense, and everything's so roundabout. Of course, the hitman is staying above them.
Yeah,
whatever. He's just a drunk, and he can't use his hands, so he just like nubs everything.
But that doesn't make sense. The motherfucker opens doorknobs.
Yeah, well, he nubs them with two hands or something.
He shaves.
Yeah,
he is clean shaven.
Well, maybe he goes to the barbershop. Even though he's not working, all he does is drink or something. Actually, no, he's working at the chop shop.
No.
No,
He wasn't working at the chop shop. He just walked in.
No, he works there.
Mm-mm.
No, does. He works there.
So when he was walking by, there's like literally police and a body.
Yep.
And he calls Alexander. And the time he is talking to him on the phone, walks the rest of the way to where that guy was murdered.
Yeah.
Because the police are like, hey, I bet this guy didn't get killed right over there where all these gang members fucking work in this chop shop. So.
No, he was on his way to work.
Was he?
Yes. Yeah, that's why he was going there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought he was just walking by and then he just fucking walked in. No, because
he walked in and then he started going to work and it wasn't him pretending to be there. No, he was actually going to work. Because
I thought he was just pretending to be there.
I thought so too at first. I thought he was spying on them.
Why is he doing this? This is so stupid. He's just standing there in the open watching them have their bad guy conversation.
No, because Vin Rains goes over and talks to him. Is like, yo, I know you.
The underling was like, don't I know you?
Yeah, the underling. Yeah. And then, it was either the underling or Vin Rains. They go over because and talk to him.
The underling calls him out at the cafe or whatever, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's when, he's like, do I know you or whatever? But he goes over and is like, I think Vin Rains is talking to him at this point. He's like, yeah, you know, I know that your master or whatever gave you a job over here, but don't you think you can run off and tell him what we're doing here? Some shit like that.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he mentions that Steven Seagal gave him a job here after he retired.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is a line explaining that he works there.
I love how Steven Seagal just happens to show up everywhere.
Well, when he gets in the fight, I don't know if you notice this. Whenever Guy comes in and whenever Hearst is defending the chick in the diner.
Yeah.
From the Mexican gangbangers. They.
It was the black gangbangers first.
No, what I'm saying was when Seagal shows up.
Yeah.
When Seagal shows up, it was the Mexicans, right?
No.
Oh, it was the black one.
It was the black guys.
Okay, it was the black guys. All right.
Yeah.
It was neighborhood or whatever.
Yeah. He's 6'0".
Yeah.
Neighborhood.
He's fighting him. And then, of course, Limp Hand shows up.
Yes.
And
then Steven Seagal's like, hey, my hands are broke too. And just fucking flops them down.
Yeah. And then, you know, he bends their arm a little bit and they go flying over. And he beats these people up. He doesn't say a single thing to Hearst.
No, not at all.
He doesn't even act like he exists. And he just leaves. He's like, right. All right, baby, you know, you'd be good. I'm taking off.
I don't think they're in the same room together.
No. I don't know if they're ever in the same room together.
So, there's...
You know how he is about other martial artists. I'm sure because Hearst seems like... This guy seems like a...
So, when Hearst fails to kill himself, then Seagal just happens to walk in.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, I'm going to give you this money. You're going to get out of town. Right? Mm-hmm. And just fucking flops a thing of money on him.
Yeah.
Wait, he didn't try to shoot himself then. He was toying around with the gun, but he didn't actually make it go off. No. That was later.
It was later, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, he just walks in and is like, yeah, you retired. I don't need you no more. Here's money. Disappear. Right?
Well.
I think they're in the same room then.
I don't know.
But in no other point in this do I think they're in the same room.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm not even sure if they're in the same room then.
Like...
Because, you know, I'm sure his ego wouldn't allow him to be in the room with someone who's obviously a better martial artist.
Dude, with that dude was fucking jumping and fucking doing spin kicks and shit.
Yeah, he was talented.
He was really talented. Even as stupid as the prison was,
mm-hmm.
I love a hallway fight.
Yeah.
That's one of the thing I love the most about Daredevil is a great hallway fight. A
good hallway fight. But it still has a bunch of jump cuts.
It does. But that dude literally walks in a hall and beats the shit out of people. Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
Whenever Seagal's on the camera, it jump cuts a lot.
Yeah, because he can't move.
Yeah. Yeah. It shows someone guy attacking him like stepping, and then the guy flying.
Seagal should have realized he was the bad guy.
No.
This movie literally opens with him murdering a guy.
He can't. I don't think he's ever played a bad guy. He murders a guy, but he does it honorable. You know, yeah, I have honor. Unlike you, you ain't got none. That's something you ain't got. So I talk about seppuku, but
you
ain't
God.
Got no honor. That refers to people with honor.
Jesus Christ, he does. He says exactly that dumbass shit.
And he's like, honorable idea of killing the snitch is to hand him a knife and then beat the shit out of him in combat.
Yes, then kill him with the knife you just gave him.
Yep.
Yeah.
He never takes the shades off the entire fucking movie.
Nope.
Not once.
He's too cool.
Too cool, man.
The middle chunk of this movie is we're introduced to Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
Has Danny Trejo ever done any martial arts?
Well, I mean, he's in Machete and stuff. He's been in action movies. He's been in a lot of action movies. He's not a martial artist. But
whenever they get into the cafe fight, he literally walks out with a pistol and just fucking kills that gang. We're like, why are y'all fucking around? Yeah. Bam. Just blows the guy away.
Yeah. His character is actually pretty great. Which, I mean, generally, Danny Trejo is going to be pretty great in a movie.
But Danny Trejo fixed her hands.
Yeah.
For the end arc. And it's literally the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. Oh my
God. It's fantastic. He's like, he's supposed to be like a witch doctor.
He's like, I don't know, some fucking dumb Mexican shit. I don't know.
My abuelito was a witch doctor. I just seen somebody do it once. So his whole fucking thing is, I'm going to inject you with two different super rare scorpion poisons.
That both happen to both be the deadliest scorpions on the planet somehow.
The other deadliest scorpion ever.
Yes.
And then, I can't remember how he neutralized the poison. He said they neutralize each other?
He doesn't.
Oh, and then
He re-breaks his hands.
That way they heal back.
Yes.
Overnight.
Surprisingly fast.
That's just the poison working. That's, you just don't know the miracle cure of scorpion poison, okay?
Oh man.
Daddy needs his medicine.
There's a point in this that the Mexican gangbangers are gonna try to jump Danny Trejo in the alley, and that guy comes up and just beats the shit out of him.
With his feet. Yeah. He's like, how are you doing that, man?
And Danny Trejo is just like, just standing there smiling, is like, hey, it's not bad for a cripple.
Yeah.
Like, I could have took these guys. Like, fucking no, you couldn't have.
Yeah, he has a gun. It would've been fun. When Vin Reigns first meets Seagal.
Yeah.
He calls him the N-word.
Yeah.
and he's in a strip club, right? And I think that's when he goes to his house.
Yeah, he goes to his house first.
Yeah, and it might be later. I don't know. Anyways, he calls Seagal the N-word. And
Skull looks like he's so happy to be called the N-word. My people finally get me.
Yeah, he is so giddy. He's like, there's so fucking weird ass, like giddy laugh. It's like, yeah, man, brother, man.
So happy to finally be accepted by his people.
I'm so glad I put that in this fucking script, man. Because, you know, I just want to be knowledge of how cool I am. Even these black guys Jesus think I'm cool. Christ. Shit, brother.
I don't even know what it was going to be. Like, Vin Reigns shows up and is like, oh, yeah, we got the informant and we're going to give him to you. And Seagal's going to give him something, I guess, be part of the organization or something like that. He's like, yeah, I'm 6'0". We run 60 deep. And Skull's just like, yeah, not anymore. You work for me now.
Yep.
Like, dude didn't agree to this. Yeah, I mean, you could say it all you want.
Yeah.
But no.
And the whole movie, Vin Rhys is going behind his back and taking off and like chunks of his business. And the whole time he's like, no, I know everything that goes on, man. Brother, man, you know, I got eyes everywhere. I see everything. I know everything. I already know what he's doing. But he's not doing anything to fucking stop it. Until the end where it's like, I guess they're going to show up and try to kill us. So, you know, we're going to go home and strap up.
And then it's an entire tactical team.
Yeah, and he just has his sniper ops team.
Yeah.
And all of actually, some of the guys from the one bearded guy.
Yeah.
Definitely in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy's in like every military movie, though. They're cheesy B,
yes.
D military movie.
Yes.
But then, he's going with this whole plan. Like, all right, you know, you're going to hit him here, and we're going to be there and flank him here, and we're going to be right up here when they come out.
So before the house thing, before the in-house thing.
Okay.
He goes to Vin Rhys' club.
Yep.
Right? And literally sits down in front of Vin Rhys and is like, yeah, man, you can have all the business. I don't want none of this shit. I just want to go on back to Thailand.
Where he's from. Yep.
This man is not from fucking Thailand. But, yeah, I just want to go on back to Thailand. I just want to leave with a little bit of respect. That's all. I don't want to, you know. I just, you know, a little piece. I just a little respect. A
couple million, you know, a little respect.
So after you know, Vin Rhys is like, no, I guess you can't just go back to Thailand.
Yep.
He literally walks up like a guy quitting his fucking job. Like I'm quitting today. And Vin Rhys is like, I guess. I don't fucking know. This is your script, dude.
Nobody knows. Okay.
Oh, man.
Not the writers, not the director, not the actors. Nobody fucking knows.
So after that interaction, Seagal goes back home and talks to his gangbangers.
Mm-hmm.
So his gangbangers go to Vin Rhys' club. Yeah, no, Mr. Alexander doesn't get disrespected like that. And Vin Rhys is like, I'll fucking pay all y'all $5,000 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't enough for the lead guy, but it seemed to be plenty for everybody else.
Well, the lead guy, you know, man, he's got honor.
He's got honor. Yeah.
Brother man. So they murdered that guy.
Oh my God, he talks like a slave. Oh, God. It's so bad. It's so bad.
It's so blatantly racist.
Jesus Christ, dude.
He's supposed to be terrible on set, too.
Oh my God.
That, you didn't even mention Hector.
Oh yeah, Hector is in this.
Yep.
Yeah, Hector is in this.
He's in the Mexican cartel.
Yeah, whenever the Mexican cartel, after the black cartel, doesn't successfully capture this middle-aged blonde woman,
mm-hmm.
the Mexican cartel comes to capture this middle-aged blonde woman for some fucking reason.
I don't know.
And they are successful because they are led by Hector.
I don't understand why the Mexicans are working with or for
either of these people.
Either. Well, I get Steven Seagal's character. They would have a reason to, because at least he seems trustworthy enough because he's dumb enough or whatever.
But Vin Rhys is literally just some guy that showed up and said, yeah, I run it now.
Yeah, and he's taking over. That was their chop shop. And he just cucked them over, right? And he just took their shit. And they're like, all right, man, you know.
Maybe, he just rolled maybe in and big boyed it.
Yeah, maybe we can make this work out. It doesn't make any fucking
literally,
sense.
Vin Rhys just showed up and said, we 6-0, we neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, sure, good enough for me. Like, I don't have a fucking chop full of thugs with machine guns.
Yeah.
Right?
They murder one of their men, and they never retaliate or anything.
No.
They're just like, all right, man, you know, you probably shouldn't do that, but...
I guess. So stupid.
But, so, you know, the actor that plays Hector is Noel Gold. Gianni, or I can't remember how to say his last name.
But Noel.
Yeah, Noel.
Yeah.
He actually, of course, that guy is actually a gangbanger.
Yeah. He's actually been Hector in everything.
Yeah. He's played Hector like 15 times or some shit. And, but yeah, he got his, of course, he was a gangbanger, went to jail, and then got a career and started working. And he's been like Fast and Furious and shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it just kind of turned into this thing where Hollywood is just kind of biased and racist, air quote. And they just they tend to cast Mexicans with either the name Hector or Carlos. Mm-hmm. And they just, I think he said after like the sixth time, he was like, this can't be a thing, right? They're joking with me. And he just kept getting cast as Hector. And now he just requests that they change his character's name to Hector now, because it's just like a meme.
Yeah.
And he goes with it. And but him and Danny Trejo have been in like 18 movies or some shit together. They're in a lot of stuff together.
Awesome.
But he said a lot of them aren't very good.
Wasn't you telling me that Seagal just kept calling him Hector off screen?
I have heard that. Supposedly in an interview, he's talking about that, where Seagal would refer to him as Hector, even though he told him his name was Noel and not Hector. He'd still call him Hector on set. So,
yo, hey, Hector, come on over here.
Come over here, man. Let me show you a move.
Got some business to do. This is my 45.
let me show you how to throw a man. A full grown man.
God, dude.
Yeah, this final battle sequence where they're storming the house and Seagal. First of all, Seagal knows they're coming and he has tactical plans set up, but he leaves the guards out front just sitting there with no idea. Like, so they literally they pull up in a murder van or whatever.
And the guards are like, who's here?
And the guards are like, oh, excuse me, you can't park there. And they just blast them. Like, can I help you? Dead. It's like, you think you tell your guards, like, hey, people are coming to kill us. Don't just stand there. Guard the gate or something.
Oh, my God, dude.
So, yeah, then they storm and they have, you know, this stupid shootout. And he just runs into his catacombs.
At some point, his house becomes a factory.
Yeah, and he just goes down into this catacombs underneath his house.
Yeah.
And then
instead of defending his property, they are walking just tactically through his house to a secret passage and then just go under it somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And then instead of just burning this motherfucker's house down with all of them in it, Vin Rains just like, okay, well, we'll go walk tactically through their house with nobody here and then go down in some random catacombs too.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Like...
And then, of course, at this time, the hitman, Hearst, he's been fixed and he's back to, you know, full capacity.
Yeah.
And he shows up and starts actually doing some MMA.
He's killing gangbangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what was happening here.
Mm-mm.
I don't understand. This isn't the way you assassinate somebody.
No, no. Well, then the Mexicans show up with the chick and then they go down there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just randomly. Like, I don't understand what's happening.
The whole thing was we have to have all the leaders in one point.
Yeah.
Converge, right? Into one point.
Uh-huh.
But the whole design and everything was just real fucking terrible when it comes down to it.
I get everybody gets killed. Like, everybody except for the girl, Hearst, and Steven Seagal.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of this, Steven Seagal is acting like he was a special agent that fucking killed all these gangbangers?
No. He just acted like, you know, I did some bad stuff in my time, but I'm just going to go and try to, you know, live my life.
Yeah. And walks away from his criminal enterprise?
Yep. And he goes to Thailand, I guess, and just lives as a normal dude.
In his end fucking overpanning monologue bullshit thing.
Yeah.
This motherfucker literally said, I'm a dinosaur.
Yeah.
And I had to pause because I started laughing.
No.
Steven Seagal thinks he's a dinosaur.
What? It's a metaphor, Danny.
What's your favorite dinosaur, Steven Seagal?
It's just a metaphor. God. That's a pretty common metaphor.
It's just like, yeah, I'm a dinosaur.
The plot's all over the place. It jumps around. I was so confused the entire movie. The action really isn't that great overall. It just really has the one guy.
Oh, man.
The one young guy, Hearst, whatever, the hitman.
I have no idea what happened from start to finish in this movie at all. Not even close.
Vin Rains' plan doesn't make any fucking sense.
The Mexican cartel is just, they're cool with getting just rolled for no fucking reason. They don't put up any kind of resistance. Steven Seagal does not think he's a bad guy at all.
There's no cops in this fucking town.
No cops at all. People are just getting abducted, murdered left and right.
Yeah.
Bodies laying everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. There is a cop. They show up at the
first murder scene.
Yeah, the first murder scene.
Yeah. That's it. They don't actually do anything in this town. Steven Seagal doesn't know whether or not that should be his daughter or somebody he's fucking.
Probably both.
Yeah, I mean,
they act like it. The one scene where the hitman shows up after he does his job, Seagal's just sitting in a chair in the corner of a room. No desk or anything, just sitting in a chair, and he's got like three girls sitting on him.
Yeah.
And he's like, go ahead and take my girls out of here. I got business.
Yeah. Like, run, bitch, get some help. Oh, don't let that disgusting man touch you.
Good guy. Good guy.
God, dude. I didn't know they made body armor as big as Steven Seagal.
Yeah. It's stretchy.
I would say that he looked like a fucking Ninja Turtle, but he looked like a fucking Ninja Tortoise.
Okay.
He was a thick boy. God damn.
Not as bad as
Bad as Special Ops.
Yeah, Special Ops, they had to have like an extender, like a seatbelt extender, you know?
Dude.
For his fucking armor.
He looked stretched.
Uh-huh.
It looked like they changed the film, like they edited it to stretch him. Because his face looks so fucking
fat. I couldn't tell you because he's wearing sunglasses and a hat the whole fucking movie. A backwards hat.
Yeah, he is.
Because that's how he snipes.
Sunglasses and a backwards hat. Oh, God, dude. This motherfucker ain't from Thailand.
No. You know what there wasn't in this movie? Asians. Not a single Asian in this fucking movie.
Could you imagine if there was? What kind of racist shit would he be saying to the Asians?
Oh, he'd instantly bow to him.
Like, oh, bow.
And be like, arigato.
Oh, arigato.
Ni hao.
Did you see Vin Rains throw that kick?
Yeah.
That was sad.
Yeah. It's like me trying to throw a kick.
Dude. So much worse.
Yeah.
So much worse.
Well, Vin Rains has a few years on me.
Yeah. What is he, like 60 something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, oh God, man.
All I'm saying is he should probably stick to hacking.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. This movie was so goofy. If there would have been any kind of like overarching storyline that was somewhat cohesive, I would say 100% watch it.
Yeah.
But because this was, like I said, three movies duct taped together, I had no idea what was going on at the start or finish or anywhere in between. This was fucking bad. This is as bad as it gets.
I'm so confused.
I'm
still confused.
I don't know. I feel as though it forced the execution onto me.
Yeah. I don't even understand the fucking title.
The title was actually in the dumb shit he was saying at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. I know he said something about like execution or some shit, but I don't think he actually said that's the force of execution. But the man, you know.
War is good for business if you're a government, but man, the streets people. We's the streets people.
Mm-hmm.
War's no good for our business. Stop calling me Alexander Coates or you shall feel the force of execution.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
I guess it was just sounded like a cool line. So he's like, title of the movie.
I think if he was going to pick something out of this random jumble of shit, It should have just been called We Street People.
The streets.
I think We Street People would have been a much better name for this movie.
Yeah, man. We Street People.
We Street People.
We straight up. Neighborhood, man.
Neighborhood, man. 6-0.
6-0, you know? Yeah, I'm joining the Crips. I'm cool.
No, motherfucker, you are not.
That black guy over there called me the N-word, man. Shit, brother. I'm part of the hood now. We's neighborhood. Nah, Danny. I'm joining. We's the hood now, Danny. He had a really good redemption arc. You know, I think he was a pretty good guy when it comes down to it.
I wish the other half of Vin Rains' movie would have been in here somewhere.
Yeah.
Because I imagine it was spectacular.
Yeah. The strip club scenes were okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of naked middle-aged women in the strip club, too.
Yeah, man, they look too bad.
The only young women in this were literally the three whores that were sitting on his lap when he was just sitting in the corner over there.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, all these women look middle-aged.
Like, I mean,
they needed this job.
You've been to a strip club lately? You go to a strip club during the day.
Don't watch this. Don't watch it. It's so bad. There are funnier Seagal movies.
Yeah. And better.
This is painful. This is rough.
Just watch Under Siege. Under Siege was actually a good movie. Oh. I enjoy that one. But there's not many more Seagal movies I can watch anymore and take serious.
Don't worry. We'll do something a little more palatable next Seagal movie.
Oh, God. Do you hate meter? How do you feel about it?
Man, I don't know. I felt pretty racismed against. Like, I'm not any of these people, and I felt disgusting listening to Steven Seagal. I mean, it's probably 8 or 9. I hated this a lot.
Really?
I mean, I'm laughing because how stupid it is.
Yeah.
But man, I really fucking hated this.
I didn't hate it that much. I honestly. It was like, I mean, it was confusing and silly and everything, but like,
would you hate it more if Steven Seagal called you Hector?
Yeah.
Yeah. You think he just calls all Mexican people Hector?
Probably. Or Carlos, apparently.
Oh, but, man.
I don't know. I'd probably give it about a 7, but yeah, just give this one a pass. Don't watch your shit.
Yeah. This is fucking terrible.
We watched it for you. You're welcome.
Fucking awful. But
thanks for joining us.
Hit us up in the comment section and hit the like, subscribes.
Yeah.
Listen to us wherever you listen to the place we upload our podcast.
That one or two places.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Make sure to like. And did I say that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, said all that.
Cool. That bye. Bye, brother man. Hehehehe